Learning how to write the backwards way round. This podcast does failing write-ism.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
Here, do you know what that sound is?
Ooh.
That is the sound.
Is a horse?
No.
In jam?
No.
You can't reference that, Jonathan.
That'll make sense later, and everyone will go, ah.
No, it won't.
That's like
that
a covered in jam.
That sound is the sound of me patting us collectively on the back.
Right, yeah.
For our cunning ruse last
it
week.
It was up there, wasn't it, with the spaghetti farms and other cunning April Fool's
yeah.
gags.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, hang on, fellas. You're just assuming that everyone's figured it out already.
Well,
you know, there might be people out there who are like, that was really upsetting, that interview.
Well, sorry to anyone.
What does that say about them if they've tuned in for the next episode after that? If they believe that and then they've still thought, I'm going to listen to that one again.
So what we are referring to is the fact that we released an episode last Monday. Just in case you didn't hear it, maybe. You'd not necessarily have heard it, have you? Last Monday was the first day of the month.
Not just any month, John.
Just any month. And it featured a writer called Flora Opel. And if you haven't heard it, it's worth going back and having a little listen to that before you listen any further. So if that's the case, go and do that first. But for those of you still here, Flora Opel, thank God, doesn't exist.
No.
She is merely an anagram of April Fool, of course.
To you all.
And we should point out that the work in progress thing we did at the end with the hammer and thong story, that was completely written by us, mostly by Dave, as you could probably tell from its sordid content. So please do send in your work in progress stuff still.
Definitely
we will be
that.
Nice, not mean, like we were to that one. Although John was still quite nice.
Weirdly, the only thing that we didn't make up is the fact that we all actually did some writing.
That's true, actually. So that's, of all the things that sounded like an April Fool, us all actually doing some writing would be the new thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, back on to what we were talking about regarding last week's interview with Flora Opel.
She was played by none other than the brilliant improv maestro and also latest member of the Comedy Store Players, Ruth Bratt. Hello, Ruth.
Hello.
The real Ruth. Welcome.
This is our Scooby-Doo moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Now I'm really hoping that I've changed my voice enough so that it's not like, oh, God, is that her again?
Well, the trouble is now, Ruth, you've got to do an interview with us and then come off better than Flora did.
So worrying.
Those are the stakes.
Oh, God,
those
maybe I am that awful.
Yeah, it might just end exactly the same.
It probably will. We'll just edit this one though, so it sounds like the normal.
Yeah, it sounds really nice.
Yeah.
So you're actually not you're not a famous writer. You're not in your 60s. You are in fact an actor, an improviser.
Yes.
Of very funny
That's
stuff.
Me.
And as mentioned just before, you are now an official member of the famous Comedy Store Players.
I am,
that must feel good.
It's great, great. I'm the first one for 2 decades or 3 decades, I think.
Wow.
Because you've been kind of in amongst that group for a while now, haven't you? But
yeah,
but
so I've been guesting with them for about 10 years, probably.
Yeah. That's a long apprenticeship.
It's a long apprenticeship, isn't
God,
it?
So is it similar to moving to a small village in Cornwall that you have to be there for like 20 years
yeah,
before you're so allowed in the greengrocers? That kind of thing.
Yeah, you're not a blow-in anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. It must be 10 years, I suppose. And they're just, you know, because it's like, they're the people that you watched, or that I watched anyway, when I was a teenager on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
On Whose Line Is It Anyway, you know. And so every now and then I have Josie Lawrence rang me this morning just to see how I am. And
now here you are, dropping
every now and
names.
Then you, here
how you've changed. God.
I know, but that's the thing. You sort of go, like, there's still a big part of me that goes, oh. You know?
Imagine you flapping your hands before answering the phone call very coolly.
Oh, my God,
oh, my God. Oh, hi.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? But, you know, so it is kind of like a weird sort of surreal thing, but it's just great. And I love them all so much, and I love doing the show.
So where does your brain start off when you're doing an improv show? Are you going in, like, trying to be zen and empty, or are you kind of taking drugs? I mean, how's it work?
Oh, I'd never do it on drugs. I think I'd be so panicked. It would be like, oh no. No, I am So everyone is different, I think, in impro or improv. And for me, like, there's not much conscious thought going on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very much in the moment.
Yeah.
And just responding to what is there. So I would say that I'm kind of, I suppose, zen, if by zen you mean just being entirely in the present.
Yeah, in that zone. There's that zone, isn't there, of thought, of creativity, of just not, it becomes a reaction, like catching a ball that's thrown at you. You're not thinking about where to put your hand. Your hand just goes there.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're kind of, really, so if someone asks me at the end of a show, or, says, oh, do you remember you did this thing?
You say, go away, pleb, I'm going for a drink with Josie Lawrence.
Josie Lawrence! No, I cannot remember. I genuinely can't remember. So, I do Showstopper, the improvised musical, and sometimes people will come up to us, 3 years after they've seen a show.
Oh, my God.
And start singing a song to us that we've made up. And, when they do that to me, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I have zero memory of that.
That's terrible. Because you've no idea if they're singing it and it's rubbish, whether they've made it rubbish or they've remembered something that you've done that was rubbish for years.
Yeah, no, it's weird how they're very catchy, and they... But because it's so immediate, there's a... And it's immediate and then gone. So it's the ultimate ephemera. Mm. It doesn't exist. Once you've done it, that's it. It doesn't exist anymore. So it's kind of like the opposite of a book.
Yeah, as failing writers, there's something massively appealing about that. You can just get that. It's basically you're just doing the first draft and then just dropping the pen and walking off.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. You never have to edit.
Never have to edit. And you're basically constantly killing your darlings.
Yeah.
Because, sometimes you come up with something beautiful and amazing and hilarious and all those things, and then it will never be done again, and it will never be seen again, and it will never be.
It's such an interesting psychological thing as well, I always thought, with the way the audience reacts to something that they know is improv versus something that's written or has had more work into it. They're much more forgiving and more willing to laugh.
Yes.
The audience naturally gets how much effort has been put in for how funny that should be and how quickly it's been turned around. There's like a little equation.
Well, yeah, and it's...
And how stressful it is as well.
Well, so the weird thing is I don't find it stressful. I find trying to remember lines way more stressful. But improv is the only art form where the audience are discovering what is happening at exactly the same time as the performers. So there's the reason I think why the audience laugh when it's, when something happens is because they are present at the moment of creation and they are an essential part of it.
Surprise, isn't it?
Yeah, surprise. It's like, it's the laughter of, oh, I wasn't expecting that. And when you can see the performer wasn't expecting it either, it's an added little cherry.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get extra bonus points for joining dots that they've not been able to see.
Exactly.
I always think, just in the psychology of it, I always think this is a really weird thing when it comes to TV shows like Have I Got Any Use For You and stuff, which you watch and appear to be improvised and off the cuff and obviously massively aren't.
Yeah.
But the audience gives them the benefit of the doubt of it not being pre-written, even though it is. It's like a wonderful cheat. It's a wonderful comedy cheat.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? But it also fulfills a different... So even though it's got that edge of it, and there will be some ad-libbed stuff in there, but it's got that edge, but it fulfills a different, and you're it's got a different contract with the audience, if you like. Because I think when you go and see live improvisation, you can smell when it's not actually improvised. You can smell it. You can feel it.
That's a hard thing to do as well, though, isn't it? A non-improvised improvisation.
Yeah. I mean,
because most of the kind of stimulus is thrown at you, I guess, from the audience.
You'd be surprised how many people are like, oh, there's the conspiracy theories that we have about that are...
Oh, there's a plant in the audience.
Yes, plants in the audience who get paid per suggestion.
Have you had enough disasters of shows to prove that wrong?
I mean, probably in my early days.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe.
If it feels like it's starting to wobble and go badly, is it just a crack on regardless? Like, what's the modus operandi?
So everyone has their own way of dealing with it. My current way of dealing with things is to just lean into it.
Right.
So for me, the only problems come when you try and... when you have tension about what is happening.
Yeah.
Mm.
So if something's going terribly and you have a tension about that, then it's only going to get worse. If something's going terribly and you embrace the horror You know, then that's sort of quite glorious. You know, there's something really fun about going, you know, and also naming it and just being like, this is terrible.
Yeah, because in a way, you are immediately forgiven, I think, if you're doing improv.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, obviously not if it keeps going on. If you just, skit after skit.
Yeah. If it's like a one-off, yeah.
One of the things I saw you in, Ruth, was a YouTube improv series called At 8:58, where you were doing a little skit with...
Me and Pippa.
You and Pippa, exactly. But one of the things I was so impressed with was... Once that situation was set up, and I can't remember who started it, who sort of said the line about, how's the wedding planning going or whatever, but just how quickly you seem to just home in on what the sort of core conflict of that situation was, and the actually the emotional truth of your character, and then exploit it. And it just seemed to happen so quickly.
Yeah.
And I suppose presumably that's just years of doing years of doing it and getting very good at it, but that just seemed like that was is getting to the sort of core truth is the thing, and then the audience are there, aren't they, with you?
Yeah, and often the audience will have got there before you, because in some situations, because you know you're juggling like multiple plates, and the audience are watching. They're actively watching, but they're watching, you know. And when we're sitting at the side of the stage watching, you're definitely like, well, I can see what that is, you know. But when you're in it, it can be harder to, because you're in it.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because your brain is doing so many things, and because you're not consciously looking for the nugget, or the, you know, the nugget kind of arrives.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. How conscious are you of doing that, of sort of finding the motivation? You're not. You kind of just... You're starting the conversation to see.
I think
what
it's muscle memory that I know that it will be there, and that my instinct is to find it, or my intuition is to find it, because of years of doing it and you know working those muscles. Mm. But I think it's really hard. When I remember once me and Dorothy were talking about it, and we were like, "Oh, I don't want to think too hard about
how it works.
Then it might not work anymore."
Don't kill the magic.
I think I sort of speak for all three of us that before this, I personally was getting quite nervous about it. And I think we were having a sort of issue of like thinking, well, we need to be a bit prepared, but we don't want to be too prepared. And sort of the stress levels were getting quite high just thinking about it. have you found with being a sort of official member of the Players now, has that sort of made things easier for you, or has that brought an extra level of pressure of thinking, right, I'm a proper member now. I've got
not until Dave said that, and now there's a little bit of a problem.
Oh no. I don't know. I don't. Maybe like the run up to things, and if you feel like there's an expectation, that can be quite nervy. But I think, I mean, when I did, don't get me wrong, when I did my first comedy store, when they said, would I like to guest, and I said yes, and I went and did it, and I was absolutely terrified. I cannot tell you how terrified I was, you know. And it wasn't my first rodeo, you know. I've been doing it for years, but I was absolutely terrified, because you know the comedy store itself is quite an iconic venue for comedy performers. It's the place.
The place.
You know, especially in London. It's like
people who've gone before you as well, I suppose.
Yeah, and you're sort of like, oh gosh, this all feels quite, you know, intense. But for me, the joy of it always takes over, really. And I forget, like, as soon as I start, because I get most of my, I didn't realise quite how much sanity and joy I get from improvisation until I couldn't do it during lockdown. I was like, I think I might be going a little bit loopy.
Just imagine you're like improvising at the milkman, or a safe distance from the person delivering the groceries and things like that.
At the cat.
Improvising at the people in the flat opposite.
And they're just like, what's going on here?
Who are you?
Because I figure that like with improv, it feels as if the audience would have like a bigger role to play somehow, that you're sort of part of it a bit more as a improv audience. Do you feed off the audience in that way?
Yeah. So it was very interesting during lockdown. Everyone was going, make your own work, make it, do something, make content.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Lee at the store, who's one of the other players, Lee Simpson, and I said to him, Lee, I haven't got anything.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to working in collaboration. So in collaboration with other performers, but also in collaboration with an audience.
Yeah.
So the feedback that you get, because even when you're not aware of it, like, you get these subtle signals, like, what are they liking? What are they enjoying? What is the, oh, if I mine this route, they're going to go with me. But if I go this way, they're not as into that. Or yeah. they're, you know, so you have all these kind of signals that you're picking up on all the time. Your antenna are so alert when yeah. you're improvising.
I suppose it's like a game you're playing, aren't 100%. You? Like tennis, you've got nothing to come yeah. back at you.
And I was terrible. It's why I find, because I do write as well, but I find it very difficult, because if I don't have the kind of stimulus from other things, I find it much harder to kind of just do stuff on my own. I did a one-woman show, and it was fine and it was good and I'm glad I did it, but I can't say it was my favourite thing to do, because I missed, you know.
Right.
And then when we were doing, so we were doing Showstopper in lockdown, we were doing some socially distanced live streams. So we were socially distanced from one another behind
right.
drum screens, because that was the only way yeah. we were allowed to all be in a room together.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all realised we're all at an age where our eyesight isn't quite good enough to be 3 metres from someone and be able to see them properly.
Yeah.
But also doing it without the laughter coming back to you, and without yeah. the, you know, without the just the energy coming back at you
yeah.
was very difficult. Yeah, yeah. And we found we were doing a very different thing, you know, and having to kind of, in some ways, we're doing it to amuse one another more than...
Yeah.
Because there wasn't anyone else. Even though we were doing it to a live audience, we couldn't see them or hear them or...
yeah.
You know, there was someone on a... There was a chat thing. So there was always someone on the chat giving suggestions and feeding stuff back to us. But we couldn't see it or feel it. So it was...
Yeah, it's not the same, is it? Yeah.
No, and I think the audience are... so important and so vital. So even, you know, because most impro shows you ask for a suggestion and, you know, the audience give you stuff. Lee and I did a show called A Very Serious Play, where we did a very serious play. It was never very serious because I'm right. not a very serious person. But we didn't ask for anything.
Oh,
so
wow.
we'd play some Philip Glass music.
Of course.
And then one of us would go onto stage and start doing something. And then when the other one felt moved to go in, we'd go in, and then, you know, a story would happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and often, you know, people are like, well, but the audience haven't given you anything. And you're like, oh, no, they have. They have. Because that show could only have happened with those people in that room on that night.
Yeah, yeah.
If someone else had been there, there'd have been a different energy
different
in the room
feel.
Or a different
yeah, right.
feel
wow.
and we'd have done a different show. So, you know, or they'd have responded differently to places we were going.
Yeah.
So the story would have gone somewhere else, you know, which I guess is useful for writers, right? The story can always go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. And despite the fact that it's obviously quite different when you don't have an audience and you are just writing on
yeah.
your own, do you think there are any improv strategies that writers could potentially use to try and help them maybe unlock, you know, ideas or stories out of thin air? Are there kind of rules that you should adhere to?
I mean, there are, I like to call them principles because you
yeah.
can break them all and they're not hard and fast. And it's, you know, you're putting something scientific
yeah.
on something creative when you put rules on it. And, you know, the rules are there for safety. And then the better you get, the less you
yeah.
need them. You know, there's the whole
yeah.
thing about yes and always saying yes. But actually, a well-placed no is very useful.
Yeah, yeah.
And is just as expansive as a yes. Just depends on
the context.
Depends
yeah.
on the circumstance and the context, yeah. I would say, in terms of writing, and I think it's called, I've seen it called like free writing.
Yes.
Where you just write.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
just kind of splurge from a starting point. And that's basically what improv is in a way, but within but, you know, within the structures of stories, we all know what stories are. And, like, you know, there's a beginning and a middle and an end.
I think we learned that from, yeah.
Yeah, with Flora, even if they're not all in the right order.
So it is, in a way, that's what you were saying before, isn't it? It's like pre-edited stuff from your brain. I mean, that kind of makes sense. That's probably why a lot of writers say just write forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously your first draft, just go for
it. Well, and there's an interesting thing that Adam Megiddo, who runs Showstopper, he said once. He said that when you're telling a story in improv, you're walking forwards, looking backwards. Mm. So because you don't have an end, and you don't know what the story was about until it's finished.
Yeah.
So you're always moving forward, but you're looking backwards at what just happened.
Yeah.
Because nothing exists until you've done it. But then you work out what it meant after it has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you have to justify things that happen.
Yes, for a satisfying ending.
Yes, yeah. So I think the walking forwards, looking backwards is a very useful thing. And also not being precious about it, not editing until you've done it. Because if you edit before you finish, then you don't know what it was before you edited
where it could have gone.
Right.
Going off on a tangent, you could probably I want to ask a question of, if you're doing an improv comedy show, is it possible and do you get hecklers? Or do they just become
just adding to
contributors?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you do get people who often they think they're being funny, I'm going to give them something they can't do. I mean, you know, at the store for a while, you get a lot of dildos and, you know, porno and all that. And you're like, God. And so if we ever took porno, I just used to be really dead-eyed and stare at them uncomfortably, which made me really laugh. But I mean, so there's one I can... So the thing is, because you're asking people for things, you know, and every now and then people will say something transgressive or because they think it's funny, but it's not really. And also, if you actually had to watch us doing that, it would very quickly become horribly uncomfortable and unfunny. Yeah. I mean, my favourite one we ever had was in Showstopper. And the question was, in what beautiful style of music or musical do they sing this song? What's a beautiful style of music or a beautiful composer? And this man, he must have been very drunk. And he had a pint on his big tummy. And he went, like, what beautiful, beautiful style of music. He sticks his head up his own bum. And we were like, one, what question do you think was asked? Two, how do you think we're going to do that?
Have you not heard of that genre? Yeah.
Did you get thrown out for that, Dave, or not? Or were you...
Yeah, I finished my pint and then I was gone.
To be fair, there are some subgenres of jazz that fulfil that.
Once you get down the subgenres of music, nothing's off the board at all. Anything is possible.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, it's light aromatic chemistry dance. Oh, is it?
Is it?
Great stuff.
We'll do that, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so you do get people sort of...
joining in. Let's call it joining in.
joining in. That's the thing. That's what I mean. It's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, trying to help.
Having too much fun.
too much fun, yeah. That's a nice way of putting it.
Well, do you know what? I think this interview has ended a lot nicer than last week's.
Yes.
Seems to have come to a nicer
end. He sticks his head up his bum.
Yeah, well, even so, still, I think it has.
It has. It's been a lot of fun, Ruth.
It
thank
has,
you. You've made us very happy.
Nicer.
And I hope we tricked a few people last week.
Oh, there was one more thing, though, wasn't there, John?
Oh, yes, before you disappear, I had a little idea for a kind of daft little task for after this chat.
Yes.
So we wanted me, Tom and Dave to improvise a short radio drama.
Yes.
So I asked you to come up with a location and three characters and their motivations, which none of us have seen yet.
Yeah.
And you have done that and you have sent it to me.
I have.
So I know, because I haven't looked at it. Is there... Are you apologising?
Oh, that's a good sign, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Great sign.
We can always edit this out.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't edit my own idea when I sent it. I went, oh, yeah, this is good.
You properly improvised it.
Brilliant. Okay.
Do we need to be assigned, like, character number one is Dave, character number two is Tom or whatever, or Is that already on there?
Oh, no, I've just left them as 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
So you can just...
You tell us, who do you want Dave to be, 1, 2, or 3?
1.
Okay, Tom?
3.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm 2. Great. Remember your numbers, chaps. And we'll do that as soon as we've said goodbye. And now we can let you go. Thank you very much,
Ruth. I can't wait to hear that, by the way.
You may never.
You may go the same way as the middle of Flora Opal's career.
Depends how it goes.
Never to be seen again.
20 years time.
I just wanted to ask one last thing. Is there anything you want us to big up, like a particular show or anything we can flag for you or, you know, shout about?
Well, I guess my big things are the Comedy Store Players, which is every Sunday at the Comedy Store in London's glittering West End.
Yeah, definitely do that.
And also there's some touring dates coming up, I think, if you go
brilliant.
To the website.
Oh, that's exciting.
There might be some bits and bobs there.
Shall we go and see you, lads, and do some heckling?
Yeah, come and do some... He sticks his
stick
head.
Stick his head! Oh, big boom!
No, Dave won't be allowed in.
That's true.
No, they'll have his number. How far north are you going?
I don't know. I haven't seen the list yet. But so they did do a little mini tour earlier this year that I didn't do. But there's some sort of festivals and things that are happening. And then Showstopper, the improviser musical, is also currently on tour.
Fantastic.
And we'll be at the Edinburgh Festival as always. And is also on Monday nights, I think it's 1 or 2 a month, in London's glittering West End at the Cambridge Theatre, which is where Matilda is on. Those are sort of our two main live things.
Brilliant.
Amazing. Thank you, Ruth. We've taken up too much of your time, so we'll let you go. But
yes, go and make sure the cat hasn't eaten too much cardboard, I guess.
I will.
He'll be onto his fifth box by now.
I know. Yeah.
Don't pump his stomach.
Yeah. I do worry about him.
Virtually a papier-mâché cat now.
There's part of me that's like, is this bad for them? Is this bad? Should I be stopping this behaviour?
You feel like if he's chosen to eat it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You obviously need
They're
some kind
stupid.
Of nutrients from the cardboard.
Yeah, just don't get him wet. So I don't know if the cat there, boys, was a useful lesson in improv.
In what way?
Because I thought when we did it last week for our hilarious April Fool's comedy, that she'd made up the entire cat thing.
Oh,
well, you didn't think there was a cat at all?
You thought that was part of the improv?
I just thought she's brilliant at improv. She's just throwing these things in there. But she was using something that was real, but then riffing on it and doing it.
Folding it into the improv. Yeah, wow.
Apparently that's what you're supposed to do if you're ever arrested for a crime.
Blame it on a cat.
And you
just
have
done
the
crime.
Just
eat as much cardboard as you can. And then you will become violently ill and they have to let you go.
That's it. Now you've got to base everything on as much truth as possible. I'm guessing that's probably quite difficult if you've killed somebody.
Yeah.
It's a good tip,
I'll
isn't
bear
it?
That in mind, yeah. So
when we do this, because we've got to do our little improv now, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well,
what a brilliant
idea
that was.
We can't really get out of it now, can we? Because it's all
no, not really.
It's all there.
But it is bound to be brilliant. So and not at all excruciating. So
no.
That's good.
Fine,
but just to clarify and outline, we're doing this completely as live. It's not edited.
Our listeners will be full of admiration after we perform our improvisation. They'll doubtless sing and laugh and cheer when it reaches in their ears to cause applause and scores of loud ejaculations. Let's extend to all of you an invitation to hear a marvelous improvisation. It can't be all that tough just to sit and make up stuff, so I'm guessing this'll be a huge sensation.
Right, so Ruth has sent you the email, John, with the suggestions on. Why don't you send that now to me and Tom?
Okay,
we'll open
I'll do
it
that now.
And then just, that's it, we're in it.
All right, let's do it. So there you go, lads. That is gone now. Right. So
I've got to go. I've got to go over there to see
print
it
off.
Right, hang on.
Okay, yeah, you do that. And none of us have seen this.
Can I see it now? Can I look at it now?
Hang on. I've lost it now.
You're not emailed as your only copy of it, John. Have you? Do you want me to send it back?
Now, hang on. Before you look at it, don't look at it yet.
Just click. I clicked open and then you said, look at it yet.
Don't look at it. Look away.
Now, I'm just trying to think. Do we just read our own character and the location? Would that work?
Are you saying I've got to read something without accidentally reading what else is written on that bit of paper?
Probably not going to work, but do you think we should do that?
That's going to be very difficult.
Probably is going to be difficult.
Let's just open it and see.
Yeah, maybe we just read it. And so who's who again?
I'm two. I'm one. John's three. You're two.
Oh, I'm three.
Three.
Hey? I thought I was two.
Yeah, that's what I said, wasn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. This is going well already.
Okay, are we going to read this out or are we just going to go straight
into it? We don't know what it is, John, because we haven't opened it yet. Stop trying to plan the improv.
Right,
let's just open it and see.
I think, in an improv show, the audience would know what the improv is about, right?
Okay, that's true. Wouldn't good call.
Because you'd get the suggestions. So perhaps
we need to share. Of course, we need to share what's on this document that we haven't looked at yet.
I don't need to go over there. Right, so one of you read it out. Anyone who can see it,
okay,
read it.
Location, under a gas lamp outside a fancy house where they're having a ball. You can see all the lights inside. It's warm inside. Outside is proper Baltic. Character one is called Henry Coulson.
I am he.
Henry Coulson is a lamplighter and general jack of all trades. And their single-minded motivation is to get warm. Character number two is Viscount Jeremiah Overbite. A peer of the realm on his way to the ball. And my single-minded motivation is to be alone with Henry Coulson. Character three, who is going to enter after a minute, so count down a minute, Tommy, is Conrad Chumley Pritchard Branson Soames, who is a dilettante gambler, as careless with real hearts as with those on cards. And your single-minded motivation is to be alone with Jeremiah Overbite.
Right.
There you go.
Do we just say 3, 2, 1, go?
Go for it.
Is that how it works in improv?
Yep.
Just, all right then. 3, 2, 1, go. Cool, blimey. It's a bit park out here tonight. And all I've got is this little lamplighting light to keep me warm. Oh, I don't know if I look good in there. I wish I could go in and get a bit of a warm on me cobbles.
Oh, hello. Good evening.
Oh, evening, sir.
I feel like I've met you before, have I not?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so, sir. I think I've just got one of those faces.
Well, you are the lamplighter. You cover the south side of this street as well, don't you?
I cover the south side, the north side, the east side. Never been fond of the west side, but yeah, all the other three.
Well, no, I'm fairly certain I've seen you before. You've got a certain thing about your face, a certain melty quality.
Yeah, that'll be all the burns, sir. It's a dangerous business, this lamplighting. Yeah, you've got to get really close. All I've got is this little flame. You've got to get really close to it to get any warmth. Oh, I wouldn't half mind going in there, get a bit of a warmth on the old cockles and muscles, know what I mean?
Yeah, because your eyes are really quite protruderant, aren't they? I'm not sure that's a word, but go with it.
No, that's the cataracts. I'm saving up for the operation.
Yeah, you really are a fascinating person. Do you mind if I get a little closer to you?
Well, I mean, how much warmth are you prepared to give, sir?
Well, as much as you're prepared to accept. Let's put it that way.
All right, Jeremiah, you're not chatting them up again, are you? Chatting up the boys again.
Hello, hey. Conrad, how are you?
Hello. Who's your friend here, then?
I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. Did you mention your name?
I don't think I did, sir, but it's Henry, if anyone should want to know. Henry the Lamplighter.
Oh, hello, Henry.
And what do you do, Henry?
I light lamps. Yeah.
Right.
But for a living, in my spare time, I like whitewater rafting.
I thought you were going to say you enjoy putting out lamps.
I do that as well, yeah. I light them for a living. I put them out just for free. Do you know what I mean? I'm that sort of bloke.
Mm. Fascinating.
Are you on your way to this get-together in there as well, are you, sir? Begging your pardon, sir. I shouldn't be speaking to a member of the gentry like that, but yeah.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I can't massively remember what accent I had when I walked in, but actually, that's going to be part of my character, I think.
Changing accents.
Actually, maybe my accent is, it's a bit of a pretense. Maybe I'm not who you think I am.
It's very Jeremiah. Difficult to put a finger on where you're from, sir, if you don't mind me saying.
I'd rather you didn't put your fingers on me anywhere, young man.
All right.
Jeremiah might enjoy that a bit more.
Don't you think it's time you should be bobbing along to the party?
Yeah, come on then, Jeremiah. Let's get off, me and you, eh?
I was just fascinated by Henry here. We're just talking about... What were we talking about again, Henry?
mostly length, sir, and how much I like them. But if you are on your way into the parties, gents, impertinent of me to ask, I'm sure, but it is park out here tonight. You know, I wouldn't mind getting in there with all that water
to warm up me razor clams. Of you, young man. I don't think a lamplight is going to be well received in there.
It's a shame. I can bring the light in with me. Any lamps that might be on the inside, I could do them. Wouldn't charge you nothing.
The upper class have plenty of lights at their disposal, thank you.
Well, I could put some out for free, like I said, and then light them up again.
That is tempting, I must admit, but I think...
Nobody lights lamps like Henry Cowler, mate.
Well, I bet you don't. And speaking of betting, the Viscount and myself, I've got some unfinished business to sort out at the ball, haven't we, Jeremiah?
Well, we do have a little bit of business, yes. But before we get to the business, I was just hoping to have a little bit more of a chat with Henry here. Is that all right with you, Henry?
Well, why don't the two of you go around, sir, and perhaps I could, get up close to those lovely-looking warm coats that you've got. And if you yourselves are feeling a bit warm, well, I could hold them for you, if you like. You know what I mean?
I've got an idea, actually.
No, you can't have my coat. I need my coat.
Why don't we give Henry a few of our, belongings, a few of our accoutrements, and maybe we could get Henry into the party. It'd be quite jolly japes, wouldn't it, to try and get him in and see if we can get him into the party. I've actually got a plus one on my invitation.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, I'd take your coats, I'd take trousers, I'd take undergarments, long johns, short johns, anything, mate. It's really parky out here, and I wouldn't mind getting inside and warming the old How's Your Father,
Why don't you start with my coat? There you go.
Oh, thanks very much. That is quite nice.
Jeremiah will have something warm you can get inside, I'm sure.
Here, what's this in the pockets here?
No, don't go through the pockets. No need to go through the pockets.
It's sort of sticking into me as I'm wearing it. What is that?
I'd leave that. It's nothing. Nothing.
Quite bulbous.
It is bulbous, yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, I won't look, sir. Just begging your pardon.
Keep your hands on the inside pockets. The inside pockets are fine.
My pockets or your pockets, sir?
Well, they're my pockets, but they're on you, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah, keep my hands in my pockets. Oh, they are nice and warm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, they're fur lined, nice, actually. Yeah.
Mm. Real mink, real rabbit. Real rabbit, is it? Oh, mink. Mink, yeah.
Yes, mink.
Very, very flammable, though, I'm led to believe. Me carrying around this light lamp in light and all. But...
Yeah, don't get too close to the lights, obviously.
Okay, fair enough.
No. Conrad.
Yes.
Do you think it's time they'll be worried about you, won't they, in the party?
We should probably get going.
Yes. Well, please go ahead. I'll join you in.
Well, why don't we? I've got an idea. Why don't we, now Henry's all dressed up to get in? Why don't we send him off by himself now to see whether he can? Go on, that'd be fun, wouldn't it, Henry?
I mean, if you think that would be all right, sir.
I could probably come with
you. I bet you two groats, the chap gets in.
Well, two groats, sir? That'd warm my family for a year. Two groats?
I tell you what, to give you a fighting chance, come here, Henry. Come a little closer.
I can't get much closer, sir.
Closer.
All right.
Little
He's already
closer.
In his trousers.
I mean, that's...
Little bit closer.
Careful of the lamplight. Thing there, sir. You don't want to go up, do you?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, thank you.
There is a smell of hair lacquer about you.
Let me just dab. You've got a little bit of something on your face there. A little bit of, I presume it's soot or something. There you go.
Just
a little bit of spit. Hang on.
That's really unnecessary, sir. Although,
there you go.
Having said that, your spit is quite warm, sir. I mean, begging your pardon, but
If you've got any to spare,
my face
there
feels.
There you go, Henry.
I haven't felt it's so warm in years.
Yes, just round your ears there as well.
A
little bit. Just come a little bit closer, just a tiny.
Jeremiah,
tiny little...
I think. Hmm? No, come on. Hmm? After the incident with the young man and the horse the other week, I think maybe the licking.
The horse.
Shouldn't be.
Very warm creatures, horses, sir. Very warm creatures.
That was quite. Not entirely my fault, the horse incident.
You brought the jam, though, didn't you?
I did bring the jam, but I brought the jam for other purposes. So...
Begging your pardon, sir, but it does look like one of the lights up in the party there has just winked out. Something up there is winking at me. Perhaps I could just nip in and give it a quick light in.
Well, I mean, I suppose they won't stop you, will they? Well, if you're doing a job.
Just okay, to be clear, well, for the bet, he has to get in dressed in the finery, not dressed as a worker, to sort the lamps.
Well, I'll tell you what, sir, why don't you give me that that hat of yours? What's that made of?
That is
that's a very good
deer
idea.
Scrotum.
Deer scrotum?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it looks like
not
it was
one,
a
very several finest. Woven together.
Looks like it was a very deer scrotum. Yeah, well, if I could just borrow that, sir.
Very soft. Touch it. It's very soft.
Yeah, it is soft, because I do have a poor man's haircut, you see, with this centre part in. If I could just have that deer scrotum hat and this mink coat.
They won't look at you twice if you've got deer scrotum.
Maybe I might be able to get in, and then you'd get your two groats, sir, and everyone would be happy, you know what I mean? Give me that hat, I'll put that on. Oh, that is nice and warm. Oh, that is lovely. Oh, yeah, that's the spot. I'll go and knock on a door and see what happens. I'll tell you what, if all goes wrong, I'll be straight back. If not, I won't be back at all.
Henry, my dear man, don't knock on the door. That's terribly common.
I'm begging your pardon, sir. I've only ever been round a tradesman's entrance, you know what I mean? Round the back, if you know what I'm saying, Jeremiah.
The door will be open for you. Won't it, Jeremiah? The door will just fling open in front of him for him to enter.
It's an electronic door.
Right. I'll give that a go then, shall I?
Yes.
Strange, isn't it, how they can invent the electronic door, but
the gas,
electronic lamp. They're still using gas lamps.
The lamp light is union, sir. They won't allow electric lights around here. Yeah. Right. Okay, I'll give it a go. So you're saying I just walk straight to the door, and if I trick the door into believing that I'm, you know, an upper class gent, it'll just open for me. Is that what you're saying?
And in you go.
Right. Quite.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
But I'll come with you just to check.
Oh, Christ, bloody hell. I'm not sure this hat quite works, sir. The door didn't really open for me.
No. Oh, wait. Wait, the window there's open, look.
Oh.
Here. All right. Come here.
Yeah?
Come here. I'll give you a little bit of
give me a footsie up, see?
Let me just pop you. There you go.
I'll tell you what, sir.
I'm right in
your
cribbage.
You've got very warm hands. Oh, yeah.
I have got warm hands. You've got a very warm buttock.
Right, just... Yeah.
Are you in yet?
Not all the way, sir. It's still a little...
Okay, just push a bit harder.
I'm going!
Are we through?
I think I'm inside, sir!
Sorry, Jeremy, to interrupt there.
Yes?
I think the party is actually over there, isn't it?
Oh. Sugar.
That...
You're right.
Yeah, that's not the...
That's number 36. Oops.
Isn't that the guy that murders?
I think you're right. That's the...
Oh, God, blimey. Oh, I don't have to worry about me. Cockles
oh, dear.
God.
Poor Henry. Poor dear
Do you think I'll be able to get my deer scrotum hat back?
Probably gone now.
Well, that feels like it's come to a natural end, doesn't it?
Why did I have to die?
It's always Dave. It's always Dave.
You bastards! You killed Dave! Well, I tell you what, there was an element of story to it, wasn't there?
Loosely.
Loosely.
It was at least two mildly humorous lines-ish, maybe, tops.
Realistically, do you think that's ever going to see the light of day? Or do you think that's going to end up in the podcast bin?
Oh, I think we've just got to put it out there, haven't we? I was going to say,
go with it. Yeah, no, it's an experiment.
Do you think,
as painful as it is,
we might end up joining the players? I think
off the back of that,
yeah.
I think when they hear that, they're going to be knocking our front doors down.
Do you know what I think? I think it does show that it's
not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, kind of, but it's there's definitely a learnt skill set, isn't it, of the setup and the bounce off.
Yeah.
You've got to be thinking in tandem, in parallel.
You do. And also thinking of conflict and story. Because the conflict wasn't enough, was it? The fact that I wanted to be close to Henry and he wanted to be close to me. It wasn't quite enough. It needed like another thing in there. But while you're actually doing it, it's very difficult to then
step out of
the
thing.
Right, thinking
the reason
about that
would
as well.
Be that because you did something again.
It's quite difficult.
It should have been the horse that you covered in jam and licked clean was a horse that I bet on in the race, and you lost me money.
Yeah, you see, that's
no, see, now we've got it. Now that was in there. We had that. Like having that understanding, isn't it? So you all are moving in the same direction at the same time.
Or willing just to wobble other people to get to where you want to be for some reason. Well, interesting.
Very interesting.
I mean, terrible podcast content, but interesting.
It was something to do, wasn't it? It was something to do.
It was. I mean, with do you know what? With a little bit of sound effects and music, that's going to be amazing.
With a little bit of editing, script writing, change of actors and characters. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah.
Hey, but if nothing else, we've proved that Ruth was really good at what she does.
Yeah. She'll be pleased with that, won't she?
Yeah.
She'll be pleased with that.
Yet again in this podcast, we've proven that someone else is a lot better at things than we are.
Hey, it's what we do.
By being stupid enough to expose ourselves. And I think that's worth something, isn't it?
It's why they love us. It's why they love us. It's why they keep coming back.
I mean, this is just an in-betweeny throwaway episode anyway, isn't it?
So no one's going to listen to it, so that's all right.
No.
We don't have to be embarrassed, guys. It's fine. It's definitely not something we'll all come to regret years later, putting that out in the world.
We did set it up quite a while ago by saying that the sort of standard to which we ought to be held has to be lower when it comes to improv, didn't we? The audience is quite accepting. So,
And we did it genuinely. We didn't look at it. We went into it. I mean, to be honest, Ruth's not done a great job of setting it up there, if anyone's to blame.
That is true.
It's definitely Ruth's fault.
I didn't want to say it, but it's not a brilliant...
No, come on, Ruth.
You'd think, being one of the comedy players, she'd have a bit more about her, come with some better. It comes to...
Thing is, she doesn't do that, does she? She just waltzes around stage saying random things.
She's got an easy job.
It's the audience that come up with the good stuff.
That is true.
She's got nothing on her own.
A performer is only as good as your audience.
Yeah, so...
So
we did quite... I think we did quite well in that.
We've sold it to ourselves anyway.
Yeah. Well, we did it, didn't we? So
next week, we have got an interview with Robert Popper that we did.
Is it a real one?
It is a real one. It's a real one. It's actually him, genuine person. Good. We're back to the real world.
Excellent.
We have a fantastic chat with him.
This is another one that I'm quite sad that I missed out on.
Hey, it was good. It was lovely. Really nice.
Yeah, it was great.
He was a lovely chap, as we say.
Sure, he was. They all are.
So thanks for listening. Don't share this episode.
By next week, start sharing.
Yes.
Yes.
And don't share the April Fool's one, because that would be really confusing. That could be...
Don't share any. Actually,
if you're thinking of sharing anything, ask us first which one.
Double check.
You should share.
If we don't mind. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll.
But tell people about the podcast and thanks for listening. God, I mean it this week. Thank you for listening.
We really mean it this week.
Thank you so much.
That last bit. Thank you for sticking with us. There we go. Do you know, when we look back, it's probably only like 2 minutes long, but it felt like it was about 20 minutes of uncomfortable. Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's go,
everybody.
Then. Yeah, I'm going to improvise what to have for dinner and hope it turns out better than that.
At least you'll have no problem lighting the oven, Henry.
No, making your pardon, sir. All right, cheerio then, everybody.
Bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Where's everybody gone?